Well, we've been looking at over the past few weeks some important topics for us as a church to think about and understand. And Tony took us through, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, what is the church, where we looked at the big picture about God calling a sinful people back to Him, calling a bride for His Son, the church, His body, called to be holy and blameless. And this big picture helps us to remember who we are, the picture of the people of God, and to remember our calling as the people of God, to worship our God, to be lights in the world, to reflect our God, and strengthen for all that we do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Lee took us through a look at the question, what is an elder? And there we looked at how God calls and ordains some to shepherd His flock, to lead, guide, and equip by the Scriptures. These shepherd the call to speak the truth and refute falsehood for the building up of the body of Christ. And they must be able to teach the Scriptures, but it is their character that is also key. If they can preach the best and most powerful sermon you'll ever hear, but are not examples to the flock, the church, then it really is useless. These are never perfect people, but they are nonetheless examples to the flock, to the people of God. And so taking our time in recognising someone called into this role is crucial. There is, of course, an ongoing need of accountability, isn't there? Encouragement, and when needed, even rebuke. And this is the call of the eldership and of the local church as well, the whole body. Unlike an elder, the office of deacon does not appear to have an Old Testament parallel in Jewish or Greek society. The word deacon is from the Greek dikonios, which means a servant. One of the main passages that has been considered for understanding what a deacon is, or especially what a deacon does, is found in Acts chapter 6. So let's have a quick look at Acts chapter 6 together from verses 1 to 7. Let me read it for us. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Greek and Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. There's been a lot of discussion about whether this passage from Acts chapter 6 should be considered a passage to do with the office of deacons, as the Greek noun, the Greek word, the original word there for deacon or servant, isn't found in this passage. Although the related word to serve is found in verse 2 when it says to wait on tables, literally to serve tables. And also there is a mention of apostles here, but not of elders. So looking for a direct parallel from this passage in every way might not be the best idea. But it does appear to give us some insight into understanding the role of deacons within the early church. We see some basic things here in this situation that arose in the early church. And widows in this time were, in society in particular, they were so vulnerable because they no longer had a husband to provide for their physical needs. And here it appears that the mainly Greek-speaking Jewish widows were being overlooked in favour of the Hebrew-speaking widows. Their daily need of food was being neglected, and this was a problem, of course. The apostles could see that this was a problem, but there was another problem. If the apostles set out to stop this neglect of the Greek-speaking widows, there would be another neglect: the neglect of the ministry of the word and of prayer. The primary responsibility of the apostles was to make the word of God known to people, to preach and teach the word and to pray. And they knew that if they jumped to do this work of serving tables for widows, that the word and prayer would be neglected. But there is something very important here for us to notice. They were not saying that widows being neglected wasn't important. In fact, the opposite is true. Listen to these words again. "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them." The apostles gathered all the disciples together. This was an important issue, so they did that. And they decided to choose 7 men to look after this responsibility. These were not just to be anyone, but men full of the Spirit and wisdom. And this the apostles saw as an important responsibility that should not be neglected. It wasn't that this job of helping widows was somehow below them or something silly like that. For Jesus had taught in washing his disciples' feet the servanthood of leadership. But this responsibility and role was not for them, but it was for others. Paul tells us that we are different parts of the same body, with different roles, but we are one body. You might remember, the hand can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." Maybe not that exact phrase, but there's no sense of more importance. The role of preaching the word and prayer was the apostles' primary role and should not be neglected by them. And neither should the widows be neglected. And so in their leadership, they addressed this problem. They knew that this role was not for them because it would mean that their role was neglected. So they chose, with the other disciples and the church, people to take care of this important responsibility. The idea of service to the physical needs of the church appears to be the same function as the office of deacon is in the church today. The office of deacon appears clearly addressed in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read it. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi," the local church there, "together with the overseers and deacons," the servants. Although there is a lot less in the New Testament regarding deacons to that of elders, there is clear teaching on deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which we looked at last week. We looked at the elder section. So just after speaking about elders, Paul writes here in Timothy from verse 8. Let me read it. "In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women, or their wives," the Greek word could be translated either way here, to be women deacons or the wives of the deacons, "they are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife or the husband of one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." So too with elders, the qualifications for deacons is focused on their character. Paul does not tell Timothy here what deacons are to do. This is probably because Timothy and the church knew what a deacon does, and possibly because Acts chapter 6, which we looked at earlier, might have been the recognized model for deacons to follow. Paul says that deacons are to be people worthy of respect, or honored, dignified. They are to be people who are held in high esteem by the church, honored by the church, people honored by, because of their character. Paul continues, they are to be people who are sincere. Deacons are not deceivers. They're not deceivers and people who are dishonest, but they are trustworthy. They say what they mean. They are not to be indulging in much wine, known to be drunkards, and nor are they to be those who pursue dishonest gain, cheating people and cheating the system, showing that money is in fact their God. Paul writes that they must keep hold of the deep truths of their faith with a clear conscience. Now, while the deacons aren't shepherds, elders, they are not necessarily going to preach or teach. They will be examples to the flock as well. The deacons' lives will be an example to others. And so if they can't hold on to the truth of the scriptures, if they waver on the truth, how can they serve as deacons? They are to be those who have a clear grasp on the truth of the good news of Jesus, and not just those who are unclear or indifferent to the truth of the good news of Jesus and his teachings. Paul also says here, they must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. We do well to, with those who are being considered before the church as deacons or elders, to take time to assess, to think, to pray as we consider whether or not to recognise someone as a deacon or as an elder, which is what we're doing at the moment with me. This process is very important. Paul also talks here about the importance of the family life of the deacon. They are to be examples to the flock of faithfulness and godliness in their marriages and relationships, as are elders. Both elders and deacons are to be those of godly character, people of example in how they live and not just in what they say. Although the list for your elders appears to be greater, the main difference between deacons and elders is not of character, for they are both to be godly in character as we read these things. The main difference is in their gifts and their calling. The main difference between deacons and elders is what Paul leaves out here and in Titus, which Lee looked at with us last week. Oh, sorry, just in here, not in Titus. Paul leaves out teaching and shepherding or leading the flock. Elders are called to lead the flock and teach the flock, the church. Elders are those who are called to shepherd the church, the bride of Christ, to lead, to guide and to equip, to rebuke and to teach and preach the truth of the scriptures. But this should not be to the neglect of people's physical needs, of the needs of other things that need to happen week in and week out in the life and lives of our community, our church community. So if what we know about deacons is that they are not called to teach or lead the flock, then what are they called to do? Well, as we've seen from the example of Acts chapter 6, and what we know they are not called to do, it appears that the role of a deacon is to do whatever they can to allow the elders to focus on teaching and shepherding the flock. Essentially, deacons focus on looking after the physical needs of the church in such a way that allows the elders to focus on looking after the spiritual needs of the church. Now, it might not always look as neat and tidy as that sounds. It's not as if those needs are never going to overlap each other. But the aim is that the deacons are to serve, are servants who take care of the day-to-day physical needs of the church in a way that allows the eldership to take care of the spiritual oversight and leadership of the church, the teaching, the leading the church in the scriptures. The deacons and the elders both function as examples to the flock of how to serve one another, of how to care for each other. And it is right this morning to give thanks to God for our deacons, for Steve and for his wife, Sue, and for Kath. And also this morning for Spike, who served as a deacon for many years, and for his faithful wife, June, who is now with the Lord. We are thankful to God for each of you, for the example that you are to our church community, and for the way that you serve us, the way that you support Tony, Lee and Bob to shepherd us. Thank you. I want to finish this morning with something that really leads into next week. And next week we are looking at the question, what is the church? What is a church family member? Or what is a Christian who calls Westview home? We've spoken this morning about the recognised office of deacons, and last week the recognised office of elders and what we understand from the scriptures. There are those who God calls as elders and those he calls as deacons, and we, the local church body, are to recognise by the scriptures and the Spirit of God who it is that God has called among us. And can I say this morning, it's always good to be considering who amongst us God has given for these roles, to look out for those God has set aside for these roles. And this is for our good, and it's a blessing for us. It's a need and a blessing. But at the very same time, we are all called to deacon, which means to serve. We are all called to be deacons or servants. Maybe not all of us in the recognized role of a deacon in that sense of the word, but all of us in that all who are sons and daughters of God through Jesus' death and resurrection, all believers are called to serve one another in love. We will look at this more next week, but 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We are all servants of Christ, parts of the body of Christ, to serve each other in love for God's glory and praise. And yet, God calls some especially for the purpose of serving the body and taking care of things, to allow the elders to focus on preaching and teaching the scriptures, to focus on prayer. So maybe a little recap in closing. Elders are called to serve the flock as shepherds, to lead and guide the flock by the scriptures. The deacons are also called to serve the flock by supporting the elders in taking care of the physical needs and everyday functions in a way that allows the elders to focus on their calling to shepherd. Elders and deacons are for the good of the body of Christ, for its strengthening and building up. And we do well to recognize, encourage, support and pray for our elders and deacons. And we're so thankful this morning to God for each of them. We are all called, every follower of Jesus is called to serve one another. 1 Peter 4 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." The purpose of all our serving is that God may be praised through Jesus Christ to his glory. In our service to one another, our caring, support, encouragement and rebuke, it is all to God's glory, that he might be lifted high, that he might be praised, that the world might see our love and know that God sent his Son to the praise and glory of the triune God. So thank you to all who serve our church community, each one who seeks to be an encouragement in so many different ways, not just by being up the front. Those who seek to help where they can, thank you this morning. But this morning I want to encourage you also to encourage, support and pray for our deacons, for our elders. Our deacons seek to care for you. They meet every second week with the elders. They discuss, plan and help make things happen behind the scenes that you might never know. And they do much more that I won't go into, but the various ways that they care for us. They too are people like the elders, like all of us, who are weak, needy and prone to wander from the truth. It is our responsibility as the body, each one, to support and care for each other, to pray for each other. So please pray and care for our deacons, so that, as Peter writes, "In all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." So I'm just going to spend some time praying for them, and then I'm going to invite Andrew up to lead our family prayer. So let me pray.